Hi, I'm Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric, and this is our biggest sale ever. Buy a new air conditioner or furnace and get 72 months interest-free financing and up to a $4,000 system rebate. Plus, Four Seasons guarantees to beat any competitor's price by up to $1,000, guaranteed. Call today for your free in-home estimate and same-day installation.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4SEASONS.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you're looking to talk Indiana Pacers, there's only one guy to talk with. And that's the man who has been their play-by-play man for 35 years. He's one of the best in the NBA. And he's on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. He's Mr. Mark Boyle. Mark, good to have you with us. Thanks for your time.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Well, we're thinking that this is going to be one heck of a series going in. And we know the Cavs were really good in the regular season. I think the Pacers are a terrific basketball team that picked up some big-time experience in the playoffs last year, knocked off Milwaukee and New York. How do you see this as a matchup going in, Mark?
Well, to put it succinctly, the regular season demonstrated that the Cavs are the better team. However, in my view at least, they're not so much better that the Pacers couldn't win this series. So, in other words, I would, if forced to pick a team, I would go with Cleveland, but it would be a shaky pick.
What does Indiana need to do to win the series?
Well, the problem on a general level is that everything the Pacers are good at, the Cavaliers are as good at or maybe better. For example, Indiana's a really good offensive team. Cleveland is a great offensive team. Indiana's an adequate defensive team. Cleveland is a good defensive team. Rebounding, major weakness for the Pacers, not so for the Cavs. The one area where the Pacers almost always have the advantage is turnover differential, but the Cavs are just as good there too. Both teams have deep benches. So in other words, the Pacers don't have a clear advantage in any category, but they're close enough in all of them that they can make it interesting. And the one thing from their perspective that gives reason for optimism is they have gotten better each month. They were good in the Milwaukee series. They feel really good about themselves. And this, to me, looks like a really competitive series.
It's funny, Mark, you mentioned what the Cavs do well, the Pacers are pretty good at as well. We talked about that yesterday because all of the offensive numbers that the Cavaliers have really thrived at, just look a notch or two behind throughout the standings, and they're sitting right there, the Pacers right there with them. And to me, that means maybe you look at some matchups. Do you like the smaller backcourt of the Cavs against the bigger backcourt? Do the Cavs in the front court have such an advantage that it negates that? That's to me where this might come down to, okay, how does this play out?
Well, you can see how it played out by looking at the regular season games. Dismiss the two games in April because those were right. Decided by players that for the most part will be inconsequential in this series. Go back to January when the Pacers had started their improvement. They were 10-15 at one time and finished impressively. They were 2-11 on the road at one time and finished 20-20. So they got better as time went on, and if we go back to those January games, we see that they were very competitive. The Pacers won in Cleveland. The Cavaliers won in Indianapolis.
Without Tyrese playing for the Pacers in that game.
Correct. And so as far as matchups are concerned, it's mix and match, and there will be adjustments throughout the course of the series as both coaches try to exploit whatever they perceive to be advantages. But I don't know that there's any one matchup that definitely will be the determining factor in this series. Halliburton's terrific. Do the Cavaliers have a matchup for him? Mitchell is great. Can the Pacers take care of him? Cleveland has bigger front court guys. Is that a problem for the Pacers? It always comes down to ebb and flow, and each game is different. And by the end of game one, there might be a different storyline going to game two. In our series with Milwaukee, we saw that dramatically on display when by the fifth game of the series, Milwaukee was only starting one guy that started in the first game. So things can change dramatically during a playoff series. I don't necessarily look at any one matchup as critical. It's just an equation where everything is important. And the determining factor might be something we're not even thinking of. Who knows?
Mark, you talked about how the Pacers got better throughout the season, especially when you look at some of the defensive numbers over the last couple of weeks and last maybe month or so or more than that. Why? What made the defense better? Is it health? Is it psychology or performance? I mean, just why is the defense better now than it was in the beginning of the season?
Well, partly it's health. Their two best perimeter defenders were out for extended stretches, Aaron Nesmith and Andrew Nembhard, so that was a factor. And then they changed their emphasis. They were a great offensive team last year, great, historically good. This year they're really good, but they've taken a step back while they've improved defensively, and so they've changed their focus, and getting those two guys back, and to a lesser degree Ben Shepherd, who has been in the rotation until the end of the season when he suffered a toe injury and has been in and out of the rotation in these five playoff games. Those are three really good defenders on the perimeter, and that's made a difference. But generally, they've decided we can't win unless we do better defensively. And the reality for them is this. With the roster they have, they'll never be great defensively, but I think they've really maxed out. And they're good enough defensively, at least in my opinion, that they can compete with anyone because they're so good offensively. Their major Achilles has been and will continue to be rebounding. They are a very, very poor rebounding team.
Mark Boyle joining us. He is the 35-year play-by-play announcer for the Indiana Pacers. 35 is right, isn't it, Mark?
37, but who's counting?
Oh, you, and I'm glad you are. 37 now.
It's two extra weeks of vacation, man. That's all that matters.
Mark, that's a lot of basketball, man.
It is. It is, and let me tell you something. I've been blessed with really good health, so I never feel old, but every once in a while, something comes to your attention that makes you realize you are old, and I'll give you a specific example. When I got this job, I would say about half the players on the Pacer roster were older and half were younger than I was. Two seasons ago, in other words, 23, 24, on opening night, the Pacer roster did not contain a single player that was born when I started. So that's how you know you're old.
That's fun. Last year, you had some playoff action that was really good. You beat Milwaukee in the first round, six games. You beat the Knicks in the second round. Pacers get that done in seven games, swept by Boston. What did that experience do for the crew that the Cavaliers are going to face starting on Sunday?
It's not something that you can tangibly evaluate because it's an attitude, it's a mindset, and they felt good about themselves going in last year, but there's a definite difference this year. They don't just feel good. They were hoping to do well and were optimistic that they could last run. This time they are certain they're going to do well. Now, it doesn't mean they will do well, but you can just see when you're there every day going to the practices or seeing the guys in the hotel or on the bus before the game, you can just tell there's a different mindset. They felt good going in last year. They feel great going in now, and I don't know how you quantify that, but it's noticeable.
Going to Indianapolis is probably one of my favorite arenas to go to, and I know this might be kind of a trite question, but what does home court advantage mean in this series?
Who knows?
Yeah.
Theoretically, it's important. I asked Rick Carlisle about it before the Milwaukee series, and I guess he put it as well as anyone because teams have lost with home court advantage. The Pacers won Game 7 at the Garden, for example, last season. When I asked Rick, he said, what it means is this. Whoever has it for Game 7.
Makes sense.
And that's what he says. And, you can evaluate it any way you want, but the home team generally wins most of the time. Now, from case to case, it can be different. The Pacers went 1-1 in Milwaukee. The Bucks went 0-3 in Indianapolis. And the Pacers have been good, including the playoffs. They've won 15 of their last 17 at home. But they don't have the home court in this series, so they'll have to win at least one game in Cleveland, and that's assuming they win all the games in Indianapolis.
Mark Boyle joining us. He's the play-by-play man for the Indiana Pacers. I am a big Pascal Siakam fan. What difference has he made to that team? What did he bring when he came over?
Big difference. And we'll start with an intangible. He played on a championship team, so he brought that to the mix in last year's playoff run when most of the players on this team had either not participated or, if they had been eliminated almost at once. So that's an intangible. But then you look at the rest of what he does. He's the leading scorer on the team, both in the regular season and in the playoffs. And you really don't appreciate this about a guy until you watch him play every night. He's so consistent. He never goes for 40, but he never goes for 9 either. Mm. He's always shooting right around 50% or better. This season had a decent season shooting the 3. He always gets his 5 or 6 rebounds, sometimes more. But he's almost always between, just throw numbers out, he's almost always between 17 and 23 points every night. So it's not a roller coaster ride with him. You can count on him for the same production every night. Plus, he's a good player. He's been an all-star. And when you add a good player and don't give up much to get him, really, when you get right down to it, if you look at that trade last year, the Pacers didn't give up anything they needed. And they got Siakam. So big plus. And then the trade previous to that with Halliburton, one of the rare trades, at least in my view, that benefited both teams. The Pacers got Halliburton and Buddy Hield, who they then turned around and moved later. The Kings got Domantas Sabonis, who's been a really good player for them.
Sure.
So those two trades have really been major for the Pacers in terms of moving to the competitive level that they're at now.
Before I give you a final question about the series, we have a young guy from Cleveland who starred at the University of Akron, who went to the Pacers and didn't play a ton this year, but played a little bit. How has Enrique Freeman endeared himself to the organization? Because he's a great young guy.
Yes, he is. And everybody was so excited when we went into Cleveland on the 13th of April and sat most of the significant players. He got a chance to play in front of his hometown, 8 points, 8 rebounds, a double overtime win. And if you were there, you saw this. And it wasn't just him. It was all the guys on the bench. But he was a big part of it. The regular guys who normally are in the game, they're in street clothes. And the excitement that they displayed watching Freeman and Johnny Furphy and Quentin Jackson and others tells you all you need to know about how these guys are evaluated. It's a very tight group. They support one another without exception. And Enrique Freeman, for a guy who didn't play very much, has become a very valuable and very admired guy.
Does he have a future there, Mark, where you think he could become a rotation player?
Yeah, I've been there 37 years, and I don't know if I have a future. So, you know. I'm not going to speculate on a guy that's been there for 10 minutes, but I hope so because he's a great kid.
Yeah, he really is. I looking at this series overall, Mark, my last question to you. If the Cavs front court can do what it's supposed to do and the back court doesn't get slowed down, I would think the Cavs. If the Pacer players who are out on that wing that can be an issue for the Cavaliers can really come through, Siakam, Nembhard, Nesmith, all these guys between 6'4 and 6'8, they could be a real challenge for the Cavaliers. I can't wait to see how it plays out. I would think this series goes deep. Would you agree?
Yeah, I would think it goes 6 or 7. But then I thought the Milwaukee series would go 6 or 7. So you might be asking someone who doesn't necessarily have a handle on the actual facts. But what you are saying, I would agree with. But on a general level, I would say the same thing. Almost every series comes down to this. Which team is better at exploiting their advantages? Which team can set the tempo, the tenor? The Pacers want to move up and down the floor. The Cavaliers have their own strengths. Who can take better advantages of their areas of influence? I think that's what it comes down to. And I think on a more specific level, you stated it very well.
Mark, great to have you with us. And we look forward to your work during the series and watching this one because it could be a lot of fun. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, Mark.
Anytime, guys. Thanks for the invite.
Mark Boyle, play-by-play man of the Indiana Pacers, joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.